It's hard not to hear that music and get fired up a little bit because the college football season is here. Not officially, might I add. We still got another weekend before that. But we do have games that count. Farmageddon is here. Couldn't be more excited. But the biggest news of the day, or should I say the week, the SEC is finally expanding to 9 regular season conference games. And I told you that I had a special guest. Please, without further ado, welcome in my good friend and co-host, Connor Newt, to the Air Raid with Parker
Kelly. Right.
Connor, it's your first time on the podcast. Are you excited?
I mean, this is a pristine honor. I can't think of another college football podcast as big in Nashville as this one is.
We're trying to get it to where it's going to be America's college football show.
Yeah.
But for right now, I'll just settle for the Nashville area, Tennessee.
Nashville is little America.
That's right. We'll work our way up. So, Connor, we have a plethora of topics to talk about. It's a jam-packed show. The SEC is moving to 9 conference games. Before we get into our opinion on this, I'm just going to go through the logistics of this. So, this has actually been talked about since the Clinton administration, all the way back 1993. The SEC has been talking about this.
Who was a great saxophone player, by the way.
Yeah, great saxophone player. I actually didn't know that until 2 seconds ago.
Yeah,
so look at that.
You're welcome.
So what this entails, basically, the SEC will still have no divisions. Each school will play 3 annual opponents. This is going to be focused on maintaining the traditional rivalries. The remaining 6 games will rotate among the rest of the league opponents. Each team will face every other SEC program at least once every 2 years and every home and away over the next 4 years. So basically, let's take Tennessee. They'll play Texas A&M in Knoxville, and then in 2 more years, they'll go to College Station.
Mm-hmm.
So we can both agree that this was a very needed change because
yes,
Georgia never played at Texas A&M, and they've been in the conference since 2012. So this has been a much-needed change. But overall, do you like this move or do you dislike the move?
I love it. I think it protects some of these pristine rivalries that you need to see throughout SEC. Like the current state, which will go away after this year, you get 2 protected rivals. So for Tennessee, for example, their protected rivals are Florida and Alabama, right? Now mm-hmm. you can protect some of another rival like Vanderbilt or Kentucky. And I know that's not the big-time rival for Tennessee. The other two are Alabama and Florida. Those are the two main you want to see. But look at a team like Auburn that is basically a rival with every team in the SEC. You're obviously going to have the Iron Bowl, right? But now Auburn can go in and say, we're going to play LSU. We're going to play Georgia. And we're going to protect those rivalries so we can rotate where we play those games on a yearly basis. Like 1 year you'll have Auburn playing in Sanford Stadium in Athens, Georgia. The next year, it wouldn't be the next year, but the year after that, Georgia would come to Auburn. So I think that is a good thing for college football, especially with the changing landscape, as I think we're heading towards playoff expansion with this move. I think they're going more into the, not the 4-4-2-2, but I think more of the 5-3 model. But I think with the changing landscape, the Big Ten constantly whining about the SEC, and the ACC says they're going to follow suit with this, mathematically they can't right now because they have 17 teams in their conference, and I'm sorry, but 17 teams can't all play 9 games
right.
in the same conference.
Yeah.
But I think from a conference standpoint for the SEC, this was a very, very needed change. It kind of keeps the prestige of college football campus rivalries alive. And I know some of them are neutral sites. Like you'll see Florida and Georgia playing in Jacksonville, and you'll see teams like that. They might be the only one, actually. Oh, I'm sorry. Texas and Oklahoma.
Yeah.
They play in the Cotton Bowl. But
yeah.
But for the most part, you see these on-campus rivalries stay the same. Like the Iron Bowl. Obviously,
still have that.
Still have that. I mean, you still have your third Saturday in October, and it's not that this year, but your third Saturday in September, I guess. Well, yes, it is.
No, it'll always be third Saturday. Yeah. They will never change. So I'm just going to look at this from like a local perspective. For Tennessee, you have Alabama. I think that's non-negotiable.
Yeah.
Personally, I would choose Florida and Georgia for Tennessee. Mm-hmm. But that leaves out Vanderbilt, who and I guess this fluctuates for Tennessee fans based on the success Vanderbilt is having in a season or not. If they're good, I think it's more so a bigger rivalry. But if they're not as good, then Tennessee fans are like, eh, whatever.
Yeah.
But if you do three, and let's say it is Georgia, Florida, and Alabama, then you're not going to play Vanderbilt every year, yep. Which I kind of don't like that. But then also, I'm looking at Oklahoma, who's in the SEC now, and they'll have – I guess they don't really have a lot of rivalries within the SEC outside of Texas. Mm-hmm. You can make the argument for maybe an Alabama or an LSU since they play them last game of the year. But what also – one of the logistics of this is Greg Sankey's mandating the SEC teams play one – non-conference game against a Power 4 opponent.
Brilliant.
Whether that be ACC, Big 12, Big 10, Notre Dame. So for Oklahoma, we could see Bedlam back, mm-hmm. and they play Oklahoma State. So I feel like that's one of the great aspects of this. And I'm not sure if you saw, did you see where the college football playoff, they're going to be using a new metric? Strength of record.
Yes.
I think that when that news came out, that played a big role in the SEC doing this, because outside of when they were still at eight, I said this from the beginning, I'd love to see nine conference games because it's mm-hmm. great for the fan. But what was the incentive? Because if the playoff committee is just looking at how many games do you win in the regular season, there was no point to make an already tough SEC schedule harder by adding a ninth game.
The only thing that scares me about the non-conference rule, obviously you just mentioned it, you have to play a Power 4 conference team. I'm scared that some of these non-conference rivalries that are usually played the last week of the season are going to go away because of that. Like your Kentucky-Louisville or your Florida-Florida mm-hmm. State or your Georgia-Georgia Tech. I'm scared those are going away because these SEC teams may look at it and say, we play a hell of a nine-game conference schedule and that's already enough of a strength of schedule for us. Why don't we just play Rutgers instead? Or Northwestern, or one of these low-end Power 4 teams. And I think that hurts the game of college football because, I don't know about you, my team, our biggest rival is a non-conference rival. I don't want to see that go away because that's such a tradition. And it went away for a while for Kentucky football.
Right.
But now that it's back, I don't ever want to see it go away because it just means more. Not to use an SEC pun. But, I mean, look at Florida and Florida State. And the Sunshine Showdown.
South Carolina, Clemson, yep. Georgia, Georgia Tech. I think those are the only four SEC schools that play an ACC team at the end of the year.
Yeah. I don't want to see that go away. Those are, for most of those teams, Georgia, I mean, you could make the argument they're looking forward to in-conference teams like Alabama or Texas. But for most of those teams, you are looking forward all season to playing that specific team. Like, Kentucky is going to be out of the SEC this year. Louisville is supposed to be decent, not great, but decent. A perennial top 25 team, I guess. I'm looking forward all season to playing that game because I think that's a game that we could win. Georgia and Georgia Tech, I think, is the only one you have that argument against. But like South Carolina and Clemson is the premier destination in the ACC right now. In fact, I think they're a national title contender.
Oh, yeah.
South Carolina.
We'll get to that later.
Yeah.
We'll get to that later.
South Carolina, I think, is... You could make the argument they're on the outside looking in at the college football playoff. You could make the argument they're on, you know, right on the fringe of making it. But regardless, that's a big game at the end of the season. And if the program continues to be where I think it's going to be with Shane Beamer and his recruiting picks up and, you know, Dabo keeps up the momentum at Clemson, that's going to be a big game every single year. So I don't want to see those go away. That's just my one fear that this...
Please, no. I pray that these rivalries do not go away. And that's what I'm hoping, since Greg Sankey is mandating this for his SEC teams, like, hey, you have to go play a non-conference Power 4 opponent. I'm hoping that those teams will just keep those rivalries and that kind of solidifies that. And they can go schedule Southeast Louisiana State for the rest of the games. Like, I hope it protects those rivalries. So, but in terms of the regular season, think about it. We get nine SEC conference games.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And then you get a... And maybe this will, the SEC and the Big Ten, they talked about an agreement where we could see an SEC Big Ten series like they kind of do in college basketball. We could see that in football. I love it in terms of the regular season. But here's what I worry about, the playoff. because the SEC, we all kind of believed that they liked the 4-4-2-2-1-1, and then the Big Ten was leaning towards that way as well. Now, after spring meetings, the SEC came out and they're in favor of the 5+11.
Yeah.
So we heard the Big Ten crying about how we're not going to discuss the playoff, really. We can't discuss the playoff unless the SEC moves to 9 games. Now that they are at 9 games, what does that mean for the playoff? Are they doing this so that the Big Ten will cave to the 5+11? Because you know my stance on that. I don't like the 5+11. So that's what I'm worried about.
Yeah. And I think you have to look at this. That's another thing that Lyman and I actually talked about this earlier. But it's a thing where, okay, you can look at the strength of schedule, and the SEC and the NCAA and the College Football Playoff Committee have made it clear that strength of schedule, if you win your games, and if you lose a close game to a stronger team, then it won't hurt you as much. But look at this from the perspective of you have an 8-4 Alabama who is on the fringe of making a playoff, and you have a 10-2 Illinois who doesn't have as strong a schedule but is a 10-2 Big Ten team. If you're looking at it in terms of strength of schedule, the argument would go towards Alabama. Alabama played, sure, they lost 4 games, but those losses were to Georgia, LSU, Texas, and I don't know, Tennessee. Illinois, they went 10-2, but their losses were to, let's say, Iowa and Northwestern. Does that keep Illinois out of the playoff? Simply,
if Illinois loses to Northwestern, then I'd say that probably lean Alabama.
Probably.
Because Northwestern's a bottom feeder in the Big Ten.
But you see what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, like, I do. I think that's a great point, because there would be nothing more embarrassing for the Big Ten to have a 10-2 team get left out of the playoff in favor of a 9-3 because the SEC's, or that SEC team's schedule was much tougher.
Yeah.
And the big, or the College Football Playoff is using that new metric.
And 8-4 wasn't a good example. So, probably 9-3 would be more accurate.
To me, it's like, okay, the Big Ten, you're up now. Are you going to make your schedule tougher? Are you going to mandate that your teams play, because they already play a 9-game conference schedule in the Big Ten. Are you going to make your teams play a non-conference Power 4 opponent now? We could see a Big Ten SEC series.
Yeah.
Which I would love. I'm sure fans would love too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with sort of a unofficial SEC or a Big Ten challenge. Like, you kind of have it a little bit this year with Texas and Ohio State playing and Oklahoma playing Michigan in week 2. But I would be okay if, you know, not every SEC team, but let's say like 12 of the 16 decide we're going to schedule a Big Ten opponent. I think that would be great. That would be a lot of fun as a fan. I think that would do wonders for TV ratings. And it doesn't even have to be like the top guys play the top guys. Like, as great as that would be, you could have like Mississippi State playing Iowa, a bottom SEC team and a mid-tier Big Ten team. I still think that would be a good game, because you could honestly stack up, you know, Mississippi State is a bottom feeder SEC team, but I still think they stack up well with a middle tier Big Ten team. And maybe that's SEC homerism by my part, but it really speaks to the depth that the conference has, and that, yeah, Mississippi State is probably a middle of the pack Big Ten team, but they're bottom feeders in the SEC just because of that strength of schedule.
So lots of mixed opinions on this. I think it's safe to say we both love this for the regular season.
Yes.
But its impact on the playoff, we're not sure yet. So more to come on that. They set a hard deadline for December 1st when they're going to decide what the future of the playoff will look like. Excuse me. Remember, the SEC and Big Ten, they have control of what the playoff format looks like in 2026 and beyond. Connor, we got some interesting things to get into on the other side of this break. We're going to give our college football playoff predictions as well as our national championship predictions. So you're going to want to stay tuned for that. You're listening to The Air Raid with Parker Kelly on ESPN 102.5 The Game. You know we love this movie, Connor.
I mean, if this doesn't get you fired up for anything, not just football, you're doing it wrong.
A little Creed 2 action. If you haven't seen the movie, I highly recommend. But besides Creed, we have some predictions to make. And this seems like a very fitting song to play as we get going here. If you listened to the last episode I did, or this was two episodes ago, I did predict my first round of the college football playoff, but I did not go through the bracket, so that's what we're going to do today. Connor, I know, have you shared your bracket publicly yet before week zero gets started here?
I have. I did it with Jake Lyman the other day, but okay. I am happy to reshare it.
So if you listen to Next Man Up whenever Connor shared, then you probably heard it. But if you did not, that's okay because you're going to hear it here. All right, Connor, should I start or do you want to start?
It's your show, man. You do what you want.
Okay, fine. I'll go ahead and start. So I'll go ahead and share my top four seeds with the byes, okay. And then I'll let you. So my top four seeds, number one, Penn State, the winner of the Big Ten. Number two, and this one was tricky, but I went with LSU, winner of the SEC. So I have LSU at
two. I am a lot lower on both of those teams than you are.
Their LSU is – I'll get into them a little bit later. I'm very high on LSU, but other people are not as high as I am. So that, but that's okay. That's why we're doing this. Number two, LSU. Number three, Texas, the team that LSU beats in the SEC championship game. Mm-hmm. And my number four team, the last team to receive a bye, the Clemson Tigers.
Wow. Okay. My number one overall seed is the SEC champion, the Texas Longhorns. Despite a loss at Ohio State, I think they win the SEC.
Okay.
Which leads me to number two, the Big Ten champion, Ohio State. Kind of self-explanatory there.
Yep.
I firmly believe those two teams have the best rosters in college football.
Makes sense.
This third team, I think, maybe not the best roster in college football, but I think it has the best returning rosters, and that's Clemson, the ACC champion. And then I think you forgot to account for a certain team that's independent to get a bye.
Oh, no, I have them in, but I
think Notre Dame is going to get a bye.
Notre Dame.
Simply with their schedule. I think if they go 11-1 or 12-0, then they are safely.
The interesting thing about them is they host Texas A&M,
yeah,
and then they go to Arkansas.
Wow. I didn't realize they went to Arkansas.
I'm really excited for that part.
They're winnable games, but they're also losable games.
Well, they're not games that are played often. I went A&M and Notre Dame played last year, and it was a great game, week one of the regular season. But then I believe it's either week two or week three. I'll have to double check. But all right, so my first round. So my 9-8, and the winner would get Penn State in the next round. I have number 9, Georgia, at number 8, Ohio State. So I have Ohio State in there, but they're going to host a first-round game, and they get Georgia, so an SEC team going to Columbus in the first round of the playoffs, just like last year. Here we go, Connor.
Oh, boy.
Here we go.
Oh, boy.
Number 10.
The Kentucky
surprise team. Nope, not Kentucky. they miss out just slightly.
Yeah.
Number 10, Oklahoma.
There it is.
To number 7, Alabama. So Alabama hosting Oklahoma in an SEC matchup in the first round. Number 11, Arizona State, the winner of the Big 12. They will travel to South Bend. Number 6, Notre Dame. And the winner would get number 3, Texas.
It's a good game.
My group of 5 team. Number 12, Boise State. They will travel to Eugene to take on the Fighting Ducks. Number 5, Oregon. The winner would get number 4, Clemson.
We love the Ducks. Okay, so my 8-9 game would be the Big 12 champion, number 8, Kansas State.
Oh, okay.
Avery Johnson in the Wildcats.
Team that plays tomorrow. Glad we're doing these predictions now.
It's going to be great. Versus number 9, Penn State. Did you say who you have winning, or did you just do the matchups?
No, I just did the first round matchups, and we'll go round by round.
Okay, sorry, I wasn't.
I didn't make that clear.
I got a lot on my mind right now.
That's okay.
The 7-10 game is an SEC showdown.
Okay.
Brian Kelly and the LSU Tigers will travel to Athens, Georgia, to take on Kirby Smart.
I like
and the
that.
Georgia Bulldogs.
I like that. So you're not as high on LSU as I am.
I'm not, simply because of their coach. I think they have an incredible roster, and and you and I have talked about this before. Speed is key for this offense.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I just think the lack of coaching success is going to show true, and they'll go like 10-2.
Will Brian Kelly be able to get this team over the hump? We'll find out.
My 11-6 game would be Lenora Sellers and the South Carolina Gamecocks traveling to Eugene, Oregon to take on.
So you go against my advice because I said South Carolina would miss the playoff. And you think South Carolina will make the playoff.
I think they squeak in, man.
All right. I'm so happy we're doing this show now. It'll be public, so we'll see come December. We'll see who is right. Okay.
And then Alabama at number five will host the G5 representative, the Tulane Green Wave.
Ooh, okay. How about that? BYU. And Tulane. How about it? All right. Or no, I guess he's no longer the BYU.
No. Well,
Ex-BYU.
Yeah, well.
Jake Retzloff.
Yeah, well, their coach is a future Kentucky head coach.
John Sumrall. He will be in the Power Four soon. Yes. Okay. I like that. I like that. Not bad. I did consider Tulane. I also considered UNLV.
Yep, those are my two.
For me, it's just kind of hard to go without Boise State right now, so I went Boise State as my group of five representative. Okay, so I have Ohio State winning that first-round matchup versus Georgia, and they would go on to play number one Penn State. So we get a Big Ten matchup in the quarterfinal, number eight Ohio State versus number one Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
I have Alabama beating Oklahoma. The winner would get number two LSU, so an SEC showdown, number seven Alabama, and number two LSU. I have Notre Dame beating Arizona State at home. They would get number three Texas. And I have Oregon beating Boise State, and they would get number four Clemson. So I'm going to go through those matchups. If this was an Elite Eight, it would be a great, great helmet matchups all over the place. Ohio State, Penn State, Alabama, LSU, Notre Dame, Texas, Oregon, Clemson.
I mean, those are like, that's like eight of the most iconic helmets in college football right there.
Those would be bangers of a matchup.
Okay. I'll go through mine then. We'll start off with a bang here. Avery Johnson and the Kansas State Wildcats upset James Franklin and Penn State in the 8-9 game. They advanced to take on Texas, the number one overall seed.
Oh, baby.
LSU and Georgia comes down to the wire, but I think Kirby Smart and company take down the Tigers, and they would take on Ohio State in the quarterfinals.
Okay.
South Carolina ultimately comes up short against Oregon. Oregon would advance to take on Notre Dame. And then I'm reading this wrong. South Carolina beats Oregon. They go to Clemson.
Oh, okay.
They go to Clemson, so we have an in-state rivalry.
And they're playing for the second time.
Yes.
Because they would play at the end of the regular season? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And then Alabama routes Tulane at home in Tuscaloosa. They advance to take on Notre Dame. So my semifinals would be Texas versus K-State, Ohio State versus Georgia, Clemson versus South
Carolina.
You have
Kansas State in the semis.
I do.
Wow.
Quarters. This is quarters.
Oh, the quarters. Okay.
Yeah. Where was I? Clemson, South Carolina.
Read through your quarterfinal matchups one more time.
Okay.
For the audience.
Texas versus Kansas State. Ohio State versus Georgia. Clemson versus South Carolina. And Alabama and Notre Dame.
Alabama, Notre Dame. Another great helmet matchup right there.
Great game.
Rematch of the 2012 National Championship game. All right. On to the semifinals. I have Penn State beating Ohio State. I think that this game in the regular season, this team already plays one time. I'm leaning Ohio State right now just because Ohio State would get Penn State at home.
That's a tough draw, though, because that's two of the most talented rosters top to bottom.
And I think Penn State will get the better of them in the quarterfinals. Alabama and LSU, my second matchup. I have Alabama beating LSU in the quarterfinals, the SEC champion.
Yeah.
So Penn State and Alabama move on. I have Texas beating Notre Dame in the quarterfinals, and I have Clemson. This was the toughest game for me to pick, Oregon and Clemson.
Yeah.
But I have Clemson beating Oregon. So in my semifinals, I have Alabama versus Texas and Penn State versus Clemson.
Interesting. Okay, so I have Texas beating Kansas State to advance to the semifinals. Ohio State would beat Georgia, so you would have... Yes, Ohio State would beat Georgia, Clemson beats South Carolina, and Alabama beats Notre Dame. So you would have Alabama and Texas playing each other, the four versus the one, and Clemson versus Ohio State.
Clemson and Ohio State.
Yes, which is the 2 and 3.
And what was the other one? Alabama.
Alabama and Texas, the 5 versus
Alabama and Texas. Okay, so we'll have the same matchup there. And I'm telling you, this Oregon-Clemson, I was thinking about this all day because I believe Dan Lanning and co. have learned from last year after getting absolutely routed in the quarterfinals versus Ohio State. So I was this close to picking Oregon, but I didn't want to have a rematch of the Big Ten championship, which I predicted Penn State and Oregon, and at Alabama versus Texas. So I went Clemson. I'm very sky high on Clemson.
Me too.
So I have Alabama and Texas. And I have Alabama winning that and advancing to the national championship game. Penn State and Clemson, this one is tough. This one's really tough because my heart wants to go Penn State. Because I think they have one of, if not the best rosters in college football. I just struggle with my blind faith because I have them as my number one overall team, but they are 1-19 against top 5 teams mm-hmm. under James Franklin. So it is hard for me to pick Penn State. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pick Clemson, and we are going to get Clemson and Alabama in the national championship game once again.
You are a smart man. You know why? Because that's my national championship
team. Oh, boy, look at that.
I have Alabama beating Texas and Clemson beating Ohio State. Now, that said, that's the rivalry of like the 2015 to 2020.
A little throwback right here.
I am sky high on both of those teams. I think Kalen DeBoer's roster is not only deep, I think they are pissed off after the results of last year. And I think he's ready. All that guy does is win, first of all.
Yep.
And I think he is going to have them motivated. And then people don't talk about Clemson enough, man. Like, Dabo is a good coach. He has a lot of returning talent this season. Cade Klubnik, I think, is going to be one of the best quarterbacks in the nation. I think he's going to be a first-round NFL prospect.
He's preseason first-team All-American.
He's going to be good. That's why I'm picking Clemson to win a national championship.
All right, so we can't have all the same matchups here. I'm going Alabama.
Okay.
I'm going to go Alabama. I believe that Kalen DeBoer was a little bit handicapped last year, and here's why. Because he's filling in for the greatest coach of all time.
Yep.
And he has he had a bunch of new players, and I do not think that he could be as hard on them as he wanted to, because he was kind of working with, he was hamstrung a little bit.
Yeah.
If you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah,
because of all these new players, Nick Saban's no longer there, and he's having to prove that he can coach in the SEC. Now think about it. It is his second year in Tuscaloosa, and his players that are there are his players. Had several opportunities to leave. If you think about the winter transfer portal window, the spring transfer portal window. So the guys that are there are his players. And Kalen DeBoer is a winner. I believe the defense is going to be the calling card for them. I believe their offensive line I'm very confident in. I'm confident in the receiver room. Ty Simpson, I believe he's going to mesh really well with what Ryan Grubb wants to run on offense. I'm going to pick Alabama. But can you imagine if Clemson wins the national championship game and all these people are coming after Dabo Sweeney for not using the portal? If Clemson wins the national championship game, is that not the ultimate mic drop moment? Walks off the stage. Now, I don't think Dabo Sweeney would retire or anything.
No.
But isn't that the ultimate mic drop moment?
Absolutely. I think Dabo has that mentality right now where he's just, I think you guys forgot about us. We're still a top program in the nation. They don't play in a tough conference at all. I think it's kind of their, on paper at least, it's their conference to lose. Like, Miami is a good team, but I think Clemson is just a step above Miami, right? So I think they don't have a lot. They have a lot to lose. But they, you know, you look at the ACC and you kind of think, yeah, that's probably Clemson's to lose. So I think that would be the ultimate walk-off for Dabo if he just comes in with this roster, not a portal roster, wins a national championship and says, I told you guys, like, we don't need the portal.
Man, and doing it his way, not caving it. Now, he did use the portal a little bit, but not caving to what the outside noise is telling him. Honestly, yeah. I wouldn't even be upset, even though it's my prediction. I wouldn't even be upset if Clemson won because I just want to see how Dabo Sweeney reacts after the game. So, all right, Clemson versus Alabama. Connor's taking Clemson. I'm taking Alabama. I think we should post these so everybody could see, because it's kind of hard. I think kind of hard for the audience to visualize when we're just saying it over podcast. So I'll make sure to at least post mine on Twitter afterwards. But okay, I want to get into some fall intel and also some news coming out of a place that's near and dear to my heart. We'll get to that on the other side of the break. You're listening to The Air Raid with Parker Kelly. So, Connor, one of the craziest stories that came out a couple of days ago, that Northwestern and former football coach Pat Fitzgerald settled a $130 million lawsuit, I believe was the exact number. And if you remember, he got fired a couple of years ago. This was a really big story when it came out. He got fired a couple of years ago for alleged hazing that was going on in the locker room, and turns out they did have the evidence to prove that hazing did go on, and I'm not going to get into all the details of that because it's truly sick what happened in that locker room. But basically, Pat Fitzgerald was given a two-week suspension where he was not allowed to come to practice, anything like that. They had an interim head coach at the time. Then a couple days after they announced the two-week suspension, they fired Pat Fitzgerald, who is the winningest coach in Northwestern football history. He was a football player, a really successful linebacker for them way back in the day, and they just up and fired him. Well, the news came out that they settled this lawsuit, and turns out they have enough evidence to prove that Pat Fitzgerald knew nothing about this. So, one, I feel for the guy, because I really enjoyed Pat Fitzgerald. Northwestern's not a blue blood or anything like that, but he kind of made them relevant.
He's a fun coach.
I went to school in Chicago. I was actually at Northwestern's field last week. I was standing – they're playing at the lacrosse stadium right now because they're getting stadium renovations done. But I was out on Northwestern's campus last week, and it turns out this guy knew nothing about what was going on, and yet he was fired. What a crazy story.
Yeah, I mean, that's just – take the football part out of it. That's a human being, right? I mean, you never want to see – good people blamed for bad things that they didn't do. There's a saying that goes around the station. I don't know if we're still continuing it, but I will. No one gets in trouble for things they haven't done yet. And Pat Fitzgerald clearly did not do anything. He didn't know. It was proven that he didn't know. So I'm with you, man. I feel for the guy. I would love to see him get back into coaching in some capacity, whether that's high school or, you know, a low-end FCS team in the college level.
I'm sure he'll be back.
He will be back.
I'm sure he'll absolutely be back soon.
Someone's going to take a flyer on him, and they should, because I feel for the guy. And I can't tell you I know a lot about Northwestern football, not a premier program.
We're not here to preview Northwestern.
Not a premier program for me to be looking at, but I do remember watching Pat Fitzgerald coach, and he was a fun coach, and, you know, he had some winning seasons there in Chicago. So I think he's a good coach, and I think he'll land on his feet somewhere.
Over 17 seasons, went 110-101. So he's the winningest coach in school history. He'll be back soon. He does have kids that play high school football. I believe they play somewhere in the Chicagoland. I'm not sure of the school exactly.
Oh, so he hasn't left the Chicago area.
He has not left the Chicagoland area. So I'm sure he'll be back at coaching in some capacity. But you just got to think his reputation and his kids, his wife, like that's all been kind of dragged through the mud while this whole thing is going on. Turns out he knew nothing about it. Just wanted to acknowledge the fact that we love Pat Fitzgerald, and it's just unfortunate what all happened. Okay, some news coming out of Tuscaloosa. Jam Miller, who is expected to be the running back for the Crimson Tide, RB1, suffered an upper body injury. I talked about this on a previous episode. Suffered an upper body injury, and he is expected to miss the preseason opener versus Florida State. However, he is expected to be back by the time SEC play starts, when they take on Georgia. So that is big news for the Crimson Tide, my national champion that I predicted. So it's good that they're going to get their starting running back back, but in the meantime, that'll provide opportunities for other guys.
Yeah, I mean, he's an electric player. He's one of the skill players in the SEC I've had my eye on this offseason, because, you know, Ty Simpson is a young quarterback. He's a new quarterback. He's got to have a guy to take some pressure off of him. And Jam Miller, I think, could be a potential all-SEC running back. So it sucks that he's got that collarbone injury. He's going to be out until, did you say Georgia game?
Yes, September 27th. Okay,
so the week of the Georgia game, which is a massive, massive playoff implication game. They need him. Now, I think they're such a deep roster. I think they're going to be set at running back under him, especially they don't play too tough of a non-conference.
Play Wisconsin.
Wisconsin at home.
But Wisconsin is projected to be I think their over-under win total is like 5.5 maybe.
Yeah,
so
I mean, they're a lower-end Big Ten team. So that is a Power 4 game. That's a big game, especially at home. But I think they'll handle Wisconsin pretty easily. And on top of that, we were just talking about non-conference games. Alabama plays a couple of cupcakes, and that's fine because you're an SEC program and your strength of schedule within the conference speaks for itself. But I think they'll be fine. I would fully expect them to be undefeated rolling into that Georgia game when they get him back.
Okay. Quick segment here on the Air Raid. When we come back, we have our Week 0 previews, picks, thoughts. We're going to get to all that on the other side. You're listening to the Air Raid with Parker Kelly on 102.5 The Game. Connor, what does this mean? Final countdown?
It means we're here.
Final countdown to Farmageddon, baby.
It means we're here.
Used to this game being played at the end of the year, but we're getting it in Week 0, and you know my disdain for neutral site games. I'm not going to get into that because we have college football, actual college football, starting tomorrow. Why waste any time complaining when we could be picking and previewing games, making some more predictions? Let's go ahead and get into it. Let's save Farmageddon for last.
Okay.
So build the anticipation, just like they do on college game day. Let's start with the 3 o'clock game, Idaho State, UNLV.
The Vandals, baby.
Yeah.
Are we doing this full game day style?
Full game day style.
Look, I don't know much about either team. UNLV is helmed by Dan Mullen. I'm excited to see what that program does. I think they're going to be one of the top G5 teams in the nation this year. That said, I'm going with UNLV, the Running Rebels, to take down Idaho State.
Idaho State,
the
man.
Vandals.
I'm going UNLV as well. I think UNLV is going to be an interesting team this year because they could legit be the last chance U of FBS football. Mm. Dan Mullen at head coach. Alex Orji, transfer from Michigan at quarterback. Anthony Calandria, transfer from Virginia. They're actually running both of those quarterbacks out against Idaho State. Both are going to play. They have JoJo Earl, a transfer from Alabama/TCU at wide receiver. 4 players that played for Dan Mullen at Florida are now at UNLV.
Yeah.
And I believe they have 20 players that are either from an SEC or Big Ten school now. So I believe UNLV is going to be a legit group of 5 contender, which means that if they were, they would have a chance at making the 12-team college football playoff. I'm going UNLV. Let's bring it on down to the 5:30 Central Time game on Fox.
Over on the islands?
No. This one's not yet. I don't think Kansas is an island. I could be wrong.
Rock Chalk.
Fresno State at Kansas.
This is actually a fun one. I learned this today from Corey Curtis. Do you know who Fresno State's quarterback is?
Yes. Mikey Keene? Is that correct?
He may be their starter, but do you know whose son is a quarterback on Fresno
State's
roster?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. No. Yes. Kurt Warner's son.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. I did see that article. He is starting for Fresno State.
Is he?
I believe so.
Huh? Good for Kurt.
Yeah.
Good for that family. That said, I'm going with Kansas. Jalen Daniels, I think, is going to be a fun young quarterback to watch. He had some injury struggles last year, but I think if he can stay healthy, I'm not saying Kansas is going to win the Big 12, but I think they're a team.
I think they'll have a chance. I really do. Because anything will happen. Anything can happen in the Big 12.
That conference is so wide open. I think they'll have a chance. Fresno State's a good G5 program. They're ranked pretty much year in and year out. Well coached. But Kansas is playing at home over in Rock Chalk land. Jalen Daniels is exciting. That fan base is excited that Kansas is finally a decent football program. Give me the Jayhawks.
I'm going Jayhawks as well, and I'm going to take it a step further. If Jalen Daniels is healthy the entire season, which he is proven that he has not been up to this point. But if he is, if Jalen Daniels is healthy for the entirety of the 2025 season, I think Kansas will win 8 to 9 games. And I'm leaning towards nine. Because they were really, really good when Jalen Daniels was healthy back in 2022. If Jalen Daniels is healthy, I think Kansas will win 8 to 9 games.
Hard to dislike their coach, too.
Lance Leipold, one of the best coaches that nobody, and I mean absolutely nobody, talks about. People are talking about Kansas. Like, we never used to talk about Kansas football. Lance Leipold has done a great job over there at Kansas. Bringing it on down to Conference USA, we got Sam Houston at Western Kentucky, 6 o'clock Central Time game on CBS Sports Network. Who do you got?
I'm sorry, I was distracted. I'm looking at all these high school games.
Sam Houston at Western Kentucky.
Oh, Conference USA.
That's right.
I would rather gouge my eyes out than watch both of these teams play because
come on. Sam Houston went, 9-3 last year?
As an MTSU guy, I have a disdain for both. But I guess I'll go with Big Red and the Hilltoppers. You know, I have a beef with them because 100 miles of hate, first of all. And I think their uniforms suck, but I do think they're a good team. They're always well coached, and that's a fun environment. So
I'm going Western Kentucky. No need to keep the audience waiting. I'm going to go Western Kentucky. They're usually in the Conference USA Championship game pretty much year in and year out. Stanford at Hawaii. Real quick, who you got?
This is. Seems like Hawaii
out on the islands
always plays in week zero. I'm disappointed it's not at 11:59 Eastern this year.
As am I. 6:30 local time, which is probably noon over there, noon kickoff for them.
I'm actually going to go with the Rainbows.
Ooh.
I think, jet lag is a thing, especially if you're coming from Southern California. Give me the Warriors.
I'm going to go with Stanford just because Frank Reich. And Andrew Luck.
Yeah,
give me Stanford. They need a win in week zero. All right. We're not going to keep the audience waiting anymore. Farmageddon, Iowa State, number 22 in the country, the Cyclones, Ames, Iowa, and number 17, Kansas State, Avery Johnson, Dublin, Ireland, Big 12 matchup, Big 12 championship implications on the line. Who we got in Farmageddon?
I mean, I just told you I have Kansas State in my playoff. So I would
kind of gave it away.
I would be remiss to not take them in this game. I think Avery Johnson is in the upper echelon of quarterbacks in the entire nation. Plus, he has great hair.
It's true. He does have some good lettuce.
I think it's going to be a close game. It's going to be gritty. It's going to be a lot of running the football, especially overseas over in Dublin. But this is going to be a good one. This is going to be a game that reminds you that football is indeed back. Ultimately, I think the Wildcats come out on top.
I'm so excited for this. I'm going to go with Iowa State, and I really like their quarterback, Rocco Becht. Avery Johnson, I want to see take the next step as a passer, but I'm going to go with Rocco Becht and Iowa State, and they're going to win a close one versus Kansas State. Kansas State is currently favored by 3.5 according to ESPN Bet. But I'm going to go with Iowa State in a close one over Kansas State. Really appreciate Connor Newt coming on to the Air Raid. Wanted to get a special guest on here as we're going to preview some week zero matchups. Also wanted to get our 12-team college football playoff predictions in before the season started, just in case. And I'm sure nobody's picking Kansas State or Iowa State to win the national championship, but we wanted to get them in before games actually started being played, and we also had to address this SEC going to a 9-game conference schedule. Very important that we talk about that. One quick reminder, if you have not already subscribed to the Game Nashville Sports Network podcast, please make sure to do so, because it is there you will find every episode of the Air Raid with Parker Kelly. This is our third episode this week, and we're just going to keep pumping them out. And also, please follow me on the socials at Parker_Kelly10, because I will be posting things like I'm going to release my official predictions for how I think the college football playoff will pan out, my predictions. I've put out lists of my top 10 quarterbacks heading into the season. I will be putting out my rankings each week, my top 25, PK's top 25, as I like to refer to it as. So please follow me on the socials at Parker_Kelly10, where you will get all of that content as well. Really appreciate everybody that was listening to this podcast today. Enjoy Farmageddon. Enjoy the Week Zero games. And remember, next week officially kicks off the 2025 college football season. What a time we live in. Have a safe, blessed weekend. Enjoy the games, and I will talk to you next week.